Welcome, everyone, to the Woke in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. I'm joined by Facundo Salazar from Miami. How's everything, Facu?
Hey, Gabby. How are you today?
I'm doing well, I guess I could say. I'm doing well. Francisco Aude from Buenos Aires. Fran, welcome back, my friend. How's everything?
Hey, Gabe. Hey, Facu. How are you guys? Ready to discuss and to express our feelings out.
This is one of those weird podcasts, I guess we could say. I don't think since I've started this podcast, since we've begun recording, that we have to discuss two defeats all within one episode. But this is what this podcast is going to entail. We're going to recap shortly, very briefly, the loss to Patronato on Saturday night, and then yesterday's defeat in Brazil to Santos. Without further ado, I'll go ahead and get into the match against Patronato. I mean, there's really not much we can say other than Boca basically fielded, I don't even want to say a second string 11, more so a third string 11. Two players debuted, if I'm not mistaken. We had Eki Fernandez, a center mid, a very promising center mid who debuted against Patronato, and Giampaoli, a center back, another very promising center back. I think the captain of the reserve team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he is.
Apart from that, we had Garcia, third string goalie, in goal. Gabaldo at right back. Giampaoli alongside Rojo. Frank Fabra is left back. Eki Fernandez, Campuzano, and Maroni all in midfield. Up top, we had Ceballos, Soldano, and Obando. So definitely just taking a look at that team. This is a team we've never seen before. Campuzano has returned from his spell with COVID. Thankfully, he's doing okay. But this is a team that, you know, we haven't seen played ever. I don't know how much practice they got in. A couple things I did like. I'm even looking at the player ratings on FotMob, which is the app that I use. The best rated players are Giampaoli and Eki Fernandez, which I agree. They had, especially Giampaoli, lots of personality at the back. Fabra is also rated pretty well. But apart from that, I don't think Boca did really anything to even deserve a draw or to grab all 3 points and bring back home from Paraná. I think Patronato were definitely the much better side, especially in the second half. They grew in confidence. They saw that Boca wasn't really proposing anything. Soldano, I mean, I sound like a broken record, doesn't offer anything, absolutely anything up top. He's not a threat whatsoever. And like I said, Patronato grew confidence, got on the score sheet, and even played after that. They played as if they were down 1-0. They continued pressing and continued creating opportunities. Boca could have even lost 2-0. So it was one of those games where, you know, you just flip the page. Very, very weird lineup proposed by Barroso. But this puts us, if I'm looking at the table now, Boca ended in second place. Yes, in second place with 22 points. That's because Talleres did not win their match against Lanús. They lost 1-0. So this sets up a Super Clásico, which is set for Sunday. I don't have anything else to add for that game. I'll take it to Fran next. Fran, any words, anything you want to add?
Yeah, we had I can't remember because we had Giampaoli and Fernandez playing from the start, and then Nicolás Valentini, the other center back from the reserve team, also did his debut.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played some 20-ish minutes. I don't remember when was the last game in which three players made their professional debut playing for Boca together in an official match. I can't remember when it was the last time. I only remember in 2008 with Seba Najar, with Tito Noir and Lucas Biatri against Racing. But possibly there was another one in Copa Argentina or something like that. Anyway, we had nothing to expect from that game, but still, I think we can't blame the kids, but some performances were not at what we expected, like Campuzano, like Soldano, even I can say Ezequiel Ceballos, perhaps, despite he's one of the youngest, and Obando, but the things we might dislike from that game went even worse last night against.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that in just a little bit. just hold off, Fran. I know we're all still heated from that match.
I'm not.
I am. I still am. Faku, anything that you want to add for the match against Patronato?
It's one of those games that they just become a stat, to be honest. If you look at the average age is 24. Everyone was super young, and that's because, you know, Garcia is 34 years old. But taking that out, you know, the young kids, correct, yeah. I mean, we were qualified. If we're being honest, no one actually cared about the game. We probably saw it with one eye on the game and one eye living our life. I mean, we all knew that this game was just not going to be anything that we care about. We finished in the same position that we were like before this game. So nothing really changed for us. I mean, like you guys said, I think it's huge that the kids are coming out and playing and being 90 minutes and starting and fighting against a first division team instead of the reserves. But I also going to point out that I don't like how Fabra, Campuzano, Maroni, Obando, and Soldano are playing. I think that this was the chance to shine, and they haven't done anything. I mean, it's very frustrating to see them having one chance after another, and then not providing absolutely anything to a team. Then another thing that we're probably going to touch about Santos as well, but Bufarini came in and he keeps making the same mistakes every single game. The last three games that we lost, the goals came from his side, he being out of position. So Bufarini has 32 years old. He has to do better. I'm tired of him just not performing the way he's supposed to be. We don't have any options, and it's terrible, but he needs to step up. That's my take on Patronato and Boca. We had River on Sunday. You know, we got to win. That's what we had to do. That's it.
Absolutely. let's switch focuses now and take it to the Copa Libertadores, where Boca fell 1-0 to Santos. I'll go ahead and read the starting 11. We had Rossi in goal, Bufarini, Lopez, Izquierdos, and Fabra. In midfield, we had the MVA, Medina, Varela, Almendra. Up top, Paun, Tevez, and Villa. Just taking a look at the starting 11 before the match, you know, I listened to various radio shows and where they read off messages from the fans and their thoughts and what they're thinking. Fabra and Bufarini were definitely the two most questionable players that the fans really didn't want to see. All in all, what I got from the game, it's the first 35, 40 minutes. Boca moved the ball around very well, missed one or two opportunities, especially one from Tevez, where I think it was Licha Lopez who sends a long ball over to Pavon, who finds Tevez, and Tevez is right in front of goal and butchers the shot. But I think in those opening 30, 35, 40 minutes, we moved the ball around very well. We weren't really threatening with it. We weren't finding that final pass in the final third in order to create any opportunities and get good looks on goal. But we were definitely dominating the game per se. And then out of nowhere, Santos finds the opener, some terrible, terrible defending from Boca in the 41st minute. You have Bufarini once again, like you mentioned, Faku, who loses his man. And then I think I saw a screenshot of the play right before they scored. It was literally a 6v3 play where Santos had three players in and around the box, and Boca had six. Everybody's just caught looking, stagnant, walking. It's really, like, it's incredible how we have to talk this way about professional athletes, professional footballers, especially playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world as Boca. I mean, you can't be caught ball watching and stagnant and just standing there. The goal, I think, was scored by, was it, give me 1 second. Felipe Jonathan. Yeah, he rounds like two, three players in the box like cones.
Yeah,
like,
they're standing there like cones. Yeah, the last one is the poor Alan Varela who tried to was against and like when you're driving in the wrong way, he was coming from left to right just to block him, and he the Felipe Jonathan did a brilliant movement from foot to foot. And just left him lying down the ground, like Leo Messi did once with Jerome Boateng. Mm-hmm. Differences apart, of course. Of course, nothing to blame on Varela, but it reminded me to the goal by Patronato last weekend, in which Campuzano lost the marking. And the man who scored, who had just entered a few minutes ago, Lautaro Torres, he just entered the box without any marking and freely scored with his head.
Yeah, but you know what? That's an acceptable mistake from Varela. I'm not even going to mention Campuzano and Patronato, but Boca were playing pretty high. We were pressing up really high. Our defensive line was really far up the pitch. Varela was playing pretty high. And you can get hit on the counter and lose your man, and you have to rely on Izquierdos or Lopez to sort of cover that space for you. It can happen. It's just part of working as a team. So I wouldn't really put too much blame on him, but more so Bufarini and Licha Lopez. I'll take you to Facu. Facu, tell me your thoughts on this game.
The thoughts of this game.
Let me just mention real quick, Facu, that Santos had played 4 games in 8 days, all with their starters, fighting relegation and without Marinho, who's arguably probably their best player, their most threatening player. But go ahead, Facu.
I was actually going to touch on that. I mean, yesterday I think that Russo played with the best 11 that we have. The strategy for the game was simple. I mean, everybody knew what Boca was going to do. It was pretty normal what was going to happen. And I think that's what we saw in the first 30 minutes. It's a shame that Tevez couldn't score that first five minutes. I think that would have changed everything. But I think until they score, you could see that the team was, you know, motivated, that they were coming for it. Like, the midfield was controlling a little bit. I mean, I feel like Medina and Almendra were not in their best when it comes to their touches, but they still were controlling the game. They were, you know, having fun with it. I never felt that they were better than us. They didn't have any chances. Yeah. I really like how Pavon played. I think that Pavon was probably one of the best players on the pitch.
For me, Pavon and Varela. Yeah,
with Varela. Mm-hmm. Villa didn't have a good game, I think, because they already know how Villa's going to play. So it was very easy to cover him. With that being said, after the score, the whole game changed drastically. The players were not moving. They didn't care. Fabra didn't move. He was not going up. He's just by his positioning. You understood that he didn't want to go up, that he wanted to go pass the ball forward, that he was scared of losing the ball. Bufarini, I cannot see him do this anymore. He gets to make a cross instead of crossing with his right. He cuts and tries with his left. It never works.
He does it every time too.
Every single time, and it never works. It's ridiculous. Like, I know how to march him, and from just watching him, how stupid that move is. And him, like, every time Varela has the ball, Bufarini and Fara are supposed to go up a little bit, you know, give different options. And then Villa and Pavon can, you know, go inside. They don't move. They do not move. And there was a part of the game that you could see Russo screaming at Fara, and Fara giving him an attitude. It's like, oh, what do you want from me? It's like, dude, run. That's your job. With that being said, I don't think the coach is a problem. I think that some players cannot be a Boca at all. That's it. They need to close the window on them and go try to see if you can find somebody extra or play the young kids. Against Santos last week, 2 weeks ago, when we won 2-0, we played a kid that played his first game ever, Sundays. He got an average game, but you still can see him running. Same with Capaldo. I mean, we had some conversations on Twitter with our, you know, little fans, some, you know, followers, that we had a little argument, which I love. I love chatting with everybody. But I think that if we're not going to have players that actually care about Boca, move. Simple as that. Leave the room for our kids. Clearly, Medina, Varela, and Almendra, they can have a game, which they did. For some, Medina and Almendra, for me, they had a terrible game. But at least they were running. At least they were trying. That's what you want to see. So I'm upset more about their attitude than actually the outcome of this game. I mean, this game, it happens. You go to Brazil, most of the times you lose. And we still have a big chance of qualifying. So I'm not very upset with the game itself, just with the fact that these players really do not care.
Yeah, and they didn't take the advantage of the other result, which was the strongest beating Barcelona 2-0. In Bolivia. So Boca, with a win yesterday, could have been leveled with Barcelona, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and also
leveled and extended the lead against Santos. Go ahead, Fran.
Excuse me, Gabe, just to I'll later go on with
no, go ahead. It's your turn anyway.
But if we had draw last night, even a 1-1, we would still have the chance to beat Barcelona next week and move on top of the group just by beating Barcelona with 1 point clear. We have just one advantage that could turn into a pressure if we don't get a good result next week. The big advantage that Barcelona and Santos have over us is that they already made a big goal difference by scoring lots of goals to the strongest, which they are still yet to come to La Bombonera in the last round, likely already out. Okay, so if we need to get a win next week in La Bombonera against Barcelona, and we must, it's likely that we'll have to score a couple of goals against the strongest on the last week.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, that depends because, I mean, next week is the strongest and Santos in Bolivia. Mm-hmm. They played 2 days before us, so it's a good thing that we have like that result in hand, so we can actually, you know, mm-hmm. play around that. But I don't see, do you really think that we can all finish with 12 points? I don't see that happening.
I think the best thing
I don't see Boca winning the two remaining games, guys.
You don't?
No, that's ridiculous.
I don't. We need to get 6 out of 6. If we don't get 6 out of 6.
I know, we know. We do need to get 6 out of 6. But after what I have seen last night, I don't know what can happen with Barcelona La Bombonera.
Let me touch on one more thing that really bothered me yesterday. And it's, once again, I mean, the squad really isn't built correctly. Again, I sound like a broken record. We have deficiencies in certain positions and too many players in other positions. But exactly. Russo, at the same time, doesn't help himself. The substitutions came too late. And I want to touch on two substitutions. First one, Carlos Tevez. You're down 1-0. I think he was replaced at the 81st minute. I'm looking at it right now. For Franco Soldano already. I don't like that substitution, but whatever. Davis walks off the pitch with one of these faces that you've seen before with previous managers. And it's just, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, completely unnecessary to have that face for the camera to be pointing at you and everybody to see that you're upset. But you're walking off the pitch. We're down 1-0. Davis, get the hell off the pitch. Get the hell off the field. We're down 1-0. We need at least an equalizer, like Fran said. You would have deducted 2 points away from Santos. And another thing is Marco Rojo replacing Licha Lopez around the same time, 80th minute. And then the camera pans at Licha Lopez, and you see him throwing a tantrum on the sideline, kicking chairs. I mean, these players, you look at Varela, Almendra, Medina. Almendra is a little bit more experienced than the other two. The other two a lot younger, 18 and 19 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Almendra with 21. He's been playing since 2019 with Boca. These players need the confidence and the leadership of the big guys. I don't know if it's just me, but if I'm looking at Carlos Tevez's career, I don't think he's ever been a leader at any of the teams he's played for. He's been captain in multiple teams, I think even at Juventus. But these young kids, they need Tevez, they need Fabra, they need Izquierdo's players that have been with the club for quite a while. Bufarini too, Licha Lopez not so much, Andrada also not so much, but they need these guys. How does it look for Almendra and Varela to see that, you know, the leaders of the team throwing tantrums and being all upset? I mean, I would be visibly upset too if I was taken off of the match, but I would try and hide it as best as possible and do the best for my team. If I'm Carlos Tevez, I'm running off of that pitch, letting Soldano replace me so we can at least get the equalizer.
I haven't seen anybody just supporting each other on the pitch, right?
There's no leaders, Facu. There's no leaders. There really isn't.
We saw that a while ago when Izquierdos with Fabra, but that was about it. That's why I feel like most of these players don't care. Option one, because they know that the contract is up in literally 20 days or a month. For example, Bufarini. And then Fabra, he's just signed an extension. He's comfortable with the fact that no one's going to tell him anything because he knows that there's no replacement.
So do you think Fabra is overweight? Do you guys see Fabra overweight?
I don't think. I see him overweight. It's the fact that he, if you compare him to 2-3 years ago, he is overweight. Yeah. He does not care. He's not adding anything attack because back in the day, we would support him because he would be like, all right, at least he, you know, goes forward, creates chances, you know, crosses the ball. Now he's just walking. You could see him the last two games like Pérez started walking, dude. I cannot stand people who walk. So this is a decision that Russo has to make to be like, or take him out or, you know, talk to him. I don't understand that. And to be honest, the fact that Pavón was the best player kind of pissed me off as well. Like, the guy that doesn't want to be a Boca is there fighting, you know, leaving everything on the pitch, and same with Almendra. You know, they actually want something. They actually want to win something. So that was very weird last night. But again, we're talking about now. I mean, if the first goal happened in the first 5 minutes, it will be a totally different conversation.
One more thing
that I want to touch that you said about Soldano coming in. That sub was very weird on my eyes as well, because clearly he's saying, I need a number nine because Tevez is not number nine and we need to score and tied. If he really feels that way, why isn't he playing Soldano from start as a number nine with Pavón and Lisha? Right? I mean, that change did not make sense to me based on, you know, what we needed for the game. We need to tie. You're taking Tevez out, you're putting us number nine. Why are you not doing that from the start if you think that that's your number nine? You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was very weird in my eyes. But again, I still have big chances, and I'm telling you today, Boca's going to win the next two games, no matter what, and we're going to qualify probably first.
Yeah, I mean, we have to, as things stand, we have Barcelona in first with 9 points, Santos in second with 6 points, Boca in third with also 6 points, positive two goal difference for Santos, positive one goal difference for Boca, and the strongest in last place with 3 points. The best thing that could happen is the strongest getting a win or a draw against Santos in Bolivia, and Boca doing the job at home against Barcelona, and then in the final match day of the group stage in 2 weeks' time, Boca defeating the strongest by 3, 4, 5 goals, just in case, you know, because the goal difference with Santos is pretty close. It's just one goal difference. So just in case, you know, we got to do our job again against Barcelona, winning at home next week, and then 2 weeks' time winning also at home against the strongest, and not only winning, but doing it by a big margin against the strongest, and even so against Barcelona, if we could beat them by 2-3 goals, that would be fantastic. I don't think the other teams don't have as easy of a schedule as Boca does. You know, we have the last two games at home. Santos's last two games are away. They're away in Bolivia, which now they have to play with the altitude, and away in Ecuador as well. The altitude
Ecuador,
isn't as
in
much.
Excuse me, Gabe. In the best case, should we win against Barcelona this week, Barcelona and Santos will be playing with their needing to get something. So they will take points away between each other.
Yeah.
And that should play in our favor in case we are still on the run.
Yeah.
Okay, on if paper, we get a draw, for example, let's suppose in the worst scenario, we can't beat Barcelona. We get a draw. For example, in La Bombonera, we'll have to win and wait and see how many goals we can score against the strongest, and that will be crucial.
Yeah. Okay. Back to 2018.
Because we will be still behind Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if Santos win in Bolivia, we're still in the same boat as a tie. So if they tie and we tie, we still have the same chance.
Yeah, of course. What I feel that we discussed in the group previously, guys, is that after what we have seen, or at least after what I have seen, I can't be that confident. And I feel forced to be a bit more cautious. Just that. We still can go through in first place. We still can beat Barcelona. The altitude can still affect Santos. We can still score 700 goals against the strongest. But We'll have to be a bit more cautious.
I really do think that yesterday's result was very lucky on Santos's end. Like we already said, they played four games in 8 days. It could have been, but you know what, Facu? Not with that Santos side. Not with this one, because they're missing tons of players. They're missing their best player, Marinho. They're fighting relegation in the local league. They have to play their best lineups for a bunch of games. I do think, you know, yesterday's result was not a good indication of the way that starting lineup can be. Again, we already mentioned Davis wasn't at his best yesterday. Mija wasn't at his best.
Boca's playing with no keeper because ours is still in Ecuador or coming back from Ecuador. You have, you know, the left and the right back that are not good and they're not solid. Then you have three guys in the middle that are young. They haven't played to have more than four games.
But it's the best we can offer. That's what
correct.
I'm saying. It's
so it's
the best we can
offer. It's the best both for everybody. So
I really do think
for us to go to Brazil and actually lose.
I do think that if we play Santos over the next 3 months, 10 more times, we'll win 6 or 7 out of the 10. I really do think that we are the better team. Yesterday wasn't a good reflection of how good we can play. Again, Villa was poor. Davis was poor. These are players that we rely on. I mean, take a look at Villa's goal in Ecuador against Barcelona. You know, a super, super goal. Barcelona? Key goal. Or the strongest, I'm sorry, in Bolivia. It was a key goal. So these are players that we need to perform at their best. And yesterday they were definitely subpar. We rely a lot on Tevez and Villa. Anything else you guys want to add in regards to the Copa Libertadores and what's coming up?
Instead of being, I would say, man, that's all we got. What we have seen last night is the best starting 11 we can build right now. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Russo will fill the mid three with the three kids in the middle or one of them will come out. Yeah, because I can't imagine the 4-3-3 from last night on Sunday.
Well, the big question now is Cardona is available.
Yeah, Cardona is available.
If Cardona is available, I still think Almendra will be sacrificed.
Yeah, that's what I would do. If Cardona is in good shape, I would play Cardona over Almendra.
I wouldn't exhaust both wings from the start, from minute zero.
No, I would. You see, this game is completely different than the Super Clásico, I mean, is completely different than the match against Santos or really anybody else. We know how River play. They press high. They like to control the tempo and control the ball, and they leave tons and tons and tons of spaces in the back. I think it would be an enormous mistake to not start with Villa and Pavon. That's just my opinion.
If that happens, Gabby, I think it's going to happen with I actually thought about that. I think, like you said, we should start Pavon and Villa.
And not have them track back. Not have them track back.
Correct. I mean, I think that Pavon does it by default because he did it yesterday a bunch of times, which I like. But
more so in the second half when the team was all discombobulated. Not in the initial 30 minutes. He was staying up top.
So I think that if we do that, Rio is probably going to play with the five defenders like they did 2 years ago. So the big question is, again, how are we going to control the middle if they put, you know, five defenders and three in the middle? Because that's overpopulating for us. For them, I mean. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, if Cardona comes in, yeah, probably take out Almendra and push Pavon a little bit to the side or like the mid side, like a number 8. But I really have no clue how we're going to play against River, to be honest.
I think that Rojo is also going to start. The thing is I don't know if he's going to start as at left back or, you know, over.
I would love that, to be honest.
Over at left back?
Yes.
I think so too. You know, avoid him going up. You don't need him going up. Cover the spaces. He's also a really good passer. He's an excellent passer. And I think it goes without saying his experience. He has a World Cup final under his belt. So I would definitely start with Rojo. I think even at left back, I would. Personally, I would go with Rossi, Capaldo, Licha López Izquierdos, Rojo, Medina Varela, Cardona, and up top, Pavon and Villa. And at the striker position, I hate to do it because Davis is not a striker. But I would put Davis up top.
Question for you, because I don't know, so I might need your guys' help. What about Andrade?
No. He's been in quarantine for what? 2 weeks now.
Yeah, because I think he's flying back today because his COVID came back negative.
Yeah, no, I'd go with Rossi.
Okay.
I'd go with Rossi. What would you do? You would start with Andrade?
Oh no! I'm asking.
I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. Same thing with Cardona. I mean, he hasn't been practicing for, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I think it's really pushing it to see him start against River. I don't know. It's really up to Russo and how he sees him. I think it's too early to tell.
I would play the same as yesterday, but instead of Fabra and Buffarini, I would play Capaldo and Rojo.
Yeah, me too. And Capaldo is a player who could join in on attack a lot as well.
Yeah, I would not go with Capaldo as a right back.
And I think River is going to be missing Montiel, who plays at left back.
Yeah, he is. No, Montiel is the right back. My guess is that likely that Milton Casco appears on the right back. He used to be the left back until he lost the position with Fabrizio Angileri.
Okay. The only questionable thing is, again, the striker position. You saw Davis plenty of times yesterday dropping back and pretty deep to find the ball in order to make something work and build some sort of attack. But when that happens and we're able to find spaces for Pavon and Bija, there's literally nobody in your midfield. That's where we're going to need the younger kids, Medina and Mendra, to get in the box and finish off the play, because Davis just can't be running around like that, like crazy. We touched on Cardona's return. I think that's it. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to add before we close this one out.
Do you think we should make predictions?
Go ahead. You want to go first?
No, I don't want to. I think we. I don't know what to say about next weekend against River.
I'm going with a 2-1 Boca win. 2-1 Boca win.
I think the bloody penalty kicks will play in against us.
Really?
I think it will be. Yeah.
Fran always being so positive.
Yeah. I think it will be a 0-0 draw, and
when's the last time you saw a Super Classico end 0-0? I think since they've had guys out of the
number 8. Yeah, with the first one with
Alfaro. That's right. With Daniele De Rossi.
Yeah, the one that Rossi played.
That's true.
We played with Soldano and Hurtado, but Soldano playing as a right midfielder.
Yeah, but apart from that one, they've all been neither team has had any sort of clean sheets except for like one or two. But typically they both always score. Go ahead, Faku.
My prediction is gonna be a terrible game, to be honest. I think it's gonna be a lot of fighting, a lot of like not much football. It's gonna be terrible to watch, I think. And it's gonna be 1-0 us or 1-1 and then going to PKs. I cannot see any other results besides that.
Okay.
If I put my money in, it's probably going to be 1-1. And then we're going to win in PKs.
Okay.
Do you trust Agustín Rossi for the penalty kicks?
Yes.
Yeah, he's blocked 100%. A couple at Lanús. And I think he's even better at blocking penalties than Andrada.
I've been discussing a lot with some friends and with some colleagues with the Copa de la Liga Profesional, which is set to be played from now on. If the 90 minutes are tied, there will be penalty kicks straight away in quarterfinals and semifinals, and the final will add the extra time, but only in the final. We were talking about which of the remaining 8 teams has the best keeper for penalty kicks. My choice is a former Boca keeper.
Yeah, Sosa.
I would go with Marcos Díaz in Talleres as the best.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sosa from Independiente.
Seba Sosa is as well. It's a good choice.
Yeah. But I think that Andrea is worse than Rossi when it comes to PK. So I'm comfortable if Rossi is a keeper.
I don't remember to have seen Andrada saving a single penalty kick in a shootout.
No, I think he's like 24 in a row that they score him or they missed, but he haven't saved anything like that.
In a shootout, I don't remember him saving one. In regular game time, yes. I think he's saved one or two. But in a shootout, I don't remember either. I think it's worth mentioning that in the quarterfinals, the better ranked team with most points will have home field advantage. In the semifinals, it's going to be at a neutral ground decided by AFA. The same thing with the final, neutral ground decided by AFA. Every game
will go
to penalties after 90 minutes, and then the final will have extra time, like you already said, Fran, and then penalties if still level.
Yeah, it's likely that the semifinals will be held in San Juan and Santiago del Estero. And the final match, if Talleres doesn't make it, I wouldn't be surprised that the Olímpico Stadium in Córdoba, the Mario Alberto Kempes Stadium in Córdoba, is chosen. And if possibly, if there are teams from around, because we have Boca, we have River Plate, We have Independiente, Racing, and I think let me have a look.
Colón, Estudiantes.
Yeah, we have lots of teams, and let's, except for Colón, the rest of the teams are from around Buenos Aires and Colón, except for Colón and Talleres. All the other teams are from the what we call in Argentina the AMBA, which is the metropolitan area of Buenos Aires, mm-hmm. the capital city and the suburbs. Yeah. So if there are only teams from there remaining, I wouldn't be surprised, unless Estudiantes, I wouldn't be surprised that it's played in La Plata, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine. Yeah, I don't imagine too many people the teams traveling too far away.
Mm-hmm. That's also a good point. I think it's worth mentioning the bracket on the left side. We have Colón versus Talleres, Estudiantes versus Independiente on the right side. A lot heavier teams. We have Vélez versus Racing, and obviously Boca versus River. Anything else you guys want to add before we close this one out?
Not for me.
The only thing that I'm hoping for the Super Clásico is no stupidity, just to play smart for all of our players to play smart. No stupid fouls, nothing like that. No getting sent off unnecessarily. Play smart, play rough, because they're obviously going to play rough. It's Super Clásico as well. Other than that, that's really all I hope for. Fran, Facu, thank you guys so much for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.